Hey, it's Kristen. You're listening to Rational in Portland. I'm so excited right now because one of my friends, Jessica Elkin, is the executive director of the James Beard Public Market here in Portland, Oregon. And it's a market that's still being put together. It's not in place yet, right, Jessica? But that's one of your jobs, is to put this all together.
Yeah, absolutely. We have been talking about this long-awaited vision for decades. And as of last week, January 17th, we purchased the building that will be the home for the James Beard Public Market. So achieving a very huge milestone, not only for the market, but also for our state and our city.
Where's the building?
The building is on 6th and Southwest Alder. We are on two city blocks, both right off of Broadway. So if you're driving down Broadway, you take a left on Alder, and there is the building. It was formerly the Ungar building, and that it has had many, many different things in the building. Most recently, it was a Rite Aid. And it's connected internally to the historic Selling Building, which is a 100-year-old building on the National Historic Registry. The market's going to be in the building we just purchased, and then we're also going to occupy the first floor of that historic Selling Building to create Portland's kitchen next to Portland's living room.
Tell us about the history of Portland and public markets, because when we were off air, you started to talk about that, and that's when I got excited and thought, okay, we've got to start recording here. It was really interesting stuff that I didn't know about.
Yeah, many people don't realize that Portland has a strong market history. We had markets starting in the 1800s here in Portland. One market that was very notable was the Yamhill Market. James Beard writes about the Yamhill Market and the influence in his life as America's culinary son. And James Beard would go to that market with his mother, and he writes about, you know, hundreds of different stalls of produce and locally grown products from across the state that were sold there. And if you talk with people who are multi-generation Oregonians, many of them have their own stories of the Yamhill Market. But in the 1940s, corporate grocery stores came in, and many communities around the country bucked that trend of having both public markets and corporate grocery stores. But unfortunately, we did not do that in Portland and have not had a public market since that Yamhill Market. We actually had a public market before Pike Street existed in Seattle. And Pike Street, as we know, is the number one tourist destination in Seattle. So public markets have played a long history in our community, and we're really excited to bring one back to the forefront in a time when we need to reinvest and revitalize and reimagine our downtown central city. We all know that we've gone through some really rough times, but taking real estate and reimagining the possibilities to achieve this long-awaited vision is really a part of this James Beard Public Market story coming to life.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who's not excited about it. Is it already decided what's going to be in the market, or is that something still in the works?
Yeah, so where we are with the market, as I shared, is we announced on October 28th that we had found our site for the market and immediately launched a capital campaign to purchase that building. That was our first milestone we wanted to hit.
And you did it.
We did it. We bought the building on Friday, January 17th.
So impressive.
And on October
20th. That's quick.
It was very quick.
It's a lot of money fast.
It was a lot of money fast. The building, we paid $3 million for it. Of course, we had pre-development money we had to raise as well. One of the questions I got this morning from a longtime Portlander in the food industry was, did you do seismic? Have you, you know, done your due diligence around structural needs? And it's like, we've gone through all of that. Doing the due diligence on the building has been a big part of our process since we identified the site in May. Where we are now is on January 30th, we're going to be opening up the vendor application process to answer your question.
Yeah, exciting.
It is. So what we hope to do before January 30th is announce a few of the anchor tenants that have already committed to being in the market. We hope that creates excitement and that buzz also sets the tone for the market. But ultimately, once we go through our vendor application process, we will be housing 40 new small businesses within the James Beard public market, you know, an estimated 200 jobs, and creating a destination for both residents and tourists alike, and really solidifying our community as a culinary capital of the world.
So these will be new businesses, businesses that are not in Portland currently.
Well, so I'll give an example. Let's say there is a coffee shop out there in the community that has a location. They would be opening up their second location in the market. So in many ways, it's, you know, our hope is that we are having some of our tried and true operators in the food world who are thinking about a secondary business they could open, something that maybe, you know, you think of Thomas Keller at the French Laundry in California.
Yeah.
You know, most people won't be able to go to the French Laundry, but maybe they can go to his bakery, Bouchon, and be able to try some of his offerings. In many ways, a public market provides some of that accessibility for some of those brands that we love. And it's also an on-ramp for emerging entrepreneurs that are maybe they've had a food cart or maybe they've had an idea for a business. Our goal is to try and help create opportunities and pathways for entrepreneurship for a wide array of people, longtime operators, along with maybe some new operators. And historically, that's what public markets have been. They've been a place for economic opportunity. And we all know right now, economic development is critical to our community. And really, public markets are catalytic projects that help revive neighborhoods. And the neighborhood we're looking at is our downtown. So I think that's where we have huge opportunity and huge potential for this project. And, you know, it takes a lot of community people working together to make a big vision like this happen.
What kind of support do you need from the public? If people are at home and they want to support this or they're excited about this, what do you suggest?
That's a really good question. We really see this as a public-private partnership. You know, we understand that in many other communities, public markets are investments mostly by the public sector, and that's how these public markets get off the ground. In our case, it really has to be a partnership between the public sector and the private sector. The majority of funds that came in for the building purchase were from private philanthropy, as well as support from Travel Oregon and Travel Portland, and some pre-dev support from Prosper Portland. For those individuals wanting to get involved, you know, we're looking at people to ambassador this, you know, to talk to their elected officials, sharing why this public market is important for the community. Of course, we're taking financial support as well. You know, we are launching a $23 million plus capital campaign for the construction and the tenant improvements. Now that we own the building, it's really showing, you know, this project is viable. We're moving forward with it. And there's going to be many opportunities for people to connect in through events, through dinners, through fundraising activities. Like Pioneer Square, our neighbor, you know, they did the Buy a Brick. We're going to be figuring out some very accessible way for people to be a part of this legacy project. And how I look at it is, you know, when we look around our city and we see things like Pioneer Square, the waterfront, the Portland Art Museum, these are big legacy projects that our city can look to and say, wow, we did that. This public market, I believe, is that next big project where we can all be a part of it. It's our public market, and feel that sense of civic pride that we did this coming out of a really challenging time in our city's history.
What do you think, like, if people want to invest in things like this or donate to things like this, I know there are going to be events and things, but is there like a button where somebody could contribute? I don't know. I mean, people might feel daunted by the idea of a big event where they think they have to spend $5,000 or something. Is there going to be something like Buy a Brick, but just something online where they could just click on a button and donate, I don't know, $50, $100?
Absolutely. On our website, jamesbeardpublicmarket.com, we have an opportunity for people to donate at all levels. You know, for our capital campaign to purchase the building, we had people who donated $100, $150, and of course that number went up. But you know, part of this idea of a public market is creating not only more opportunities to support entrepreneurs, but also creating a 7-day-a-week public market for our community, for food, nutrition, for kids, for more accessible local food and, you know, fruits and produce. All different types of things are going to be in this market. And so, you know, our hope is that not just now with our capital campaign, but ongoing, people are going to be able to connect in where they can. And, you know, we will be looking for volunteers. We will be looking for people to support the market at all levels. You know, we are coming right off of the purchase of the building. And so now starting to build some of the infrastructure around capital campaign committee, working with our public sector leaders, working with the private sector leaders to really get our message out there.
This might sound like a really stupid question. How does, to the extent people are donating, contributing, I mean, a donation's a donation, but in terms of funding, how does, are there, I mean, let's say it's a enormous amount of funding. Are you doing it via all levels, grants, donations, investments? If people, I mean, there might be a business or an individual out there that wants to do a certain number of $1 million, is it possible that they get some stake in ownership of the market? How does that work?
Yeah, so that we are a nonprofit 501c3 organization, and our goal is to be self-sufficient. Once we build the market, our hope is that the rents that we charge the different vendors are covering the cost of our operation. So we become an additive in the community and being able to reinvest in our mission of supporting the vendors and creating the public market. You know, one of the things we're doing, like other big campaigns that you would see in museums or in other big institutions, is creating naming opportunities for people who do larger donations, but also creating that accessibility that if someone wants to support the market, there's ways to do that. But we're in that phase of the campaign right now where we're raising money through public sector support, through private grants, private philanthropy, individual philanthropy, corporate philanthropy, and we're starting to launch into doing events. And those provide, you know, a menu of opportunities for people to plug in and support.
And that's why, like, the art museum is a good comparison, or any of the other nonprofit cultural institutions that we, that's what this would be.
Yeah, it's exactly. It is a cultural institution. You know, our hope is when people think about Portland and they visit us, they think, wow, I want to go check out this James Beard Public Market. We are in the heart of our central city. We're surrounded by over 9,000 hotel beds. We have such a huge opportunity to help change the narrative through telling our food story, doubling down on what we do well, which is agriculture and food. And just yesterday, the James Beard nomination, the nominees were announced, and there were so many names from the Portland area as well as Yamhill County. You know, we're known as a culinary capital of the world. We're also the home of James Beard. He was born and raised in Portland. He spent his summers in Gearhart. James Beard is James Beard because of Oregon's food community and our agriculture and Oregon Dungeness crabs and amazing strawberries and all of the things we do here really contributed to James Beard's love of fresh local seasonal food. And, you know, being able to tell that story and, you know, yes, we are an apparel hub, and yes, we love our sneakers and we have so many things that Portland is known for. What we all know living here and many people around the world know is we really are known for our food. And this market is the front door to that Oregon bounty that will really celebrate the seven regions of our state and all that they contribute to that.
Are there going to be, is the market looking for government grants? Do you anticipate investment at the, I know there's talk of like a local economic shortfall, but do you maybe down the line anticipate investment from public entities like city, county, state?
That's a really great question. And the answer is yes. This is about public-private partnership. We're working very closely with Prosper Portland. The market is in the new TIF district, and while the TIF district won't be funded for quite a few years.
What's the TIF district?
The Tax Increment Finance District.
What does that mean?
I'm not a technical expert on it.
But just, you know, generally your understanding.
Yeah, it's my understanding is that it's a district where, in this case, funds go into the TIF, and then those funds can be reinvested in economic development projects. And
is that part of Prosper Portland?
It is.
Which is a city, it's like a supposed to help businesses within the city.
Prosper is our economic development entity at the city level. And it used to be the Portland Development Commission. Now it's called Prosper Portland, but they help manage those TIF districts and the funds and those reinvestments into the community. And so for our project specifically, we're looking at a combination of support through Prosper Portland. We're also looking at support through other city entities. And we are going to be putting forth an ask in this legislative session.
Okay.
And we have a champion that is really excited about bringing some of this forward, and that is Representative Shannon Isidore Jones.
Oh, that's great.
And she's going to help us with our legislative ask. And, you know, we know that there is a strong desire, not just in Portland, but statewide, for this market to happen because of the economic impact it can have, not only within our city, but across the state of Oregon. One of our board members, Greg Higgins of Higgins Restaurant, he's been on our board for a couple of decades. He shared a statistic that in his own restaurant, he has probably roughly spent around $1 million a year in produce from rural farms. You know, when you think about that economic impact, one restaurant,
it's huge,
in downtown Portland, spending that much a year from our rural farmers, that is the trickle effect that we can have as a public market, creating greater pipelines, improving the supply chain between the farmer and the consumer. And that's one of the goals of the public market.
How are you involving, aside from rural counties or rural farms, if at all, the rest of the state of Oregon? Are people throughout Oregon, maybe not existing businesses, I'm not quite sure, but is one of the ideas to have this be a central place where people can enjoy the bounty of Oregon? Like you said, like Dungeness crab, a lot of people might think, oh, I need to go to the coast to do a lot of that, or it's just, it would be better enjoyed over there. Is this a place where people could go to centrally enjoy the food that comes out of here?
Yeah, that's exactly
one-stop shopping, right?
Yeah, it really becomes the front door to Oregon's bounty. And one of our goals of the market is that people can taste whatever is happening seasonally and what is local. And then it can also be a jumping off point for people to further explore Oregon. And I think that's one of the goals here, is there's an educational component to all of the things we grow, make, produce, and eat across the state. But it's also, like you mentioned, Oregon Dungeness Crab. We're working closely right now with the Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission. Many of our commodities have these commissions across the state, and they represent the farmers, the crabbers, the fishers. And there's an incredible amount of commissions out there. There's a hazelnut commission.
I love hazelnuts.
Yeah, it's very cool. And they represent
Cool.
They represent those industries. And those industries are so critical to our economics as a state. And potato is another one. There's a potato commission. And that potato commission not only works on policy, but they also advocate for potatoes in schools, or being able to do things like, now the potato is the Oregon state vegetable.
Oh, so I didn't know that. Okay.
I know. I would think.
Yeah, I would have thought Idaho, but I like the idea that we can claim that.
Yeah, it's our thing. And so there's a potato commission. And so an example is how we're working statewide is we're working with a lot of people in the agricultural community. We're working with these commissions. We are kind of in the infancy of our campaign. You know, we accomplished that first thing of purchasing the real estate. Now it's really bringing the rest of the state into this opportunity and creating this public market. But wine is a good example. So you come into the James Beard Market, we're going to have a really dynamic wine program. Well, let's say you discover a new winery that you love. Now you will go out into Yamhill County or maybe Southern Oregon.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You know, to go explore that winery, but you first were exposed to it within the market. And I think that's where we have a huge opportunity to be a place for community connection, but also helping promote all that we do and encourage people to travel beyond Portland across the state. And as a rural Oregonian myself, I grew up in the Willamette Valley. We want to invite a lot of those rural Oregonians back into Portland and then to feel that this is their major city. And I know right now there's such a rural urban divide, and it's not just in Oregon, it's across the country. I think we can really unify through food.
Help bridge that.
Exactly. I think food is the ultimate unifier.
Yeah, so where we can all come together. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Silverton, Oregon.
Oh, I love Silverton. It's very pretty.
It is very pretty, and it's interesting. I had an interview with the Oregonian last week when we announced the purchase of the building, and I shared with a reporter who at one point he wrote for the Statesman Journal, and he knew about the Silverton.
Which
appeal.
Is out of Salem.
Exactly. Yeah. I was born in Salem, and I shared with him that, you know, my childhood was surrounded by farms and hop fields and berries, and it wasn't common for us to buy our produce at the grocery store. We would get it at farm stands. And that's just how we grew up. And one of my childhood friends reached out and he said, I saw the thing in the Oregonian. You should have, you know, pushed him to actually put Silverton, not just Willamette Valley. And I asked my friend, I was like, don't you remember, like, as a kid picking berries together? He's like, oh yeah, when we were in fifth grade, we would ride our Schwinn bikes up to this woman's house and we would pick berries in the summer, specifically blueberries. I remember picking more strawberries as a kid, but he remembers specifically blueberries. Then we'd take all of the money we earned and we would go buy candy at the corner store. And that was just such a very Oregon thing to do. You know, you picked berries, you made money, and that's how we, you know, got our, you know, pocket money as kids. So I just have such a deep appreciation for the farm communities, the agricultural communities, and how do we really showcase that in the heart of our city?
This is great. Mike Thielen is you know him. He's a local food personality. He's a consultant. He's been on food television shows, and he was here on this podcast and he mentioned you specifically. He was so happy, and how happy he was that you were in charge of this project, because he felt like it'll actually get off the ground. What do you think it is about? I mean, I agreed with him, but what do you think it is about you specifically that works for this project? What is it that you bring to this that is going to make it successful?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I consider Mike a friend, and he's been a huge champion of the James Beard Public Market. And
yeah, he's really excited about it.
Yeah. And when I became the executive director, he was one of the first people to reach out and say, what can I do to help? And having people who really understand the culinary world, but also all of the different nuances. He's from Scappoose. You know, we both have this deep love and affection for Oregon and everything Oregon. And I think what, you know, makes me uniquely positioned to lead this organization in this moment is partially that, you know, it's public markets are in my DNA. My parents had a booth at the Saturday Market for 37 years. I was a Saturday Market baby.
Here in Portland. Oh, so they came up here.
Every weekend. From,
what was the booth?
They were woodworkers.
Wow.
And so
what did they put together?
They sold all different kinds of things at the Saturday Market, but they were entrepreneurs. They were in business with my uncle and my aunt, and they had a wood shop up at Silver Falls.
Wow.
And they sold to hundreds of galleries all over the world. And then on the weekends, they sold some of their smaller items, but they would do big custom furniture pieces. And as a kid, you know, when you grow up in that environment, you understand the highs and lows and the struggles of being a small family business. And I would travel around the country with my dad in the summers at wholesale shows in New York and Baltimore and Philadelphia and Ann Arbor, Michigan and San Francisco. And I would go to these big shows with them. And then when we were done selling their work, we would go eat. You know, we would travel to public markets. My dad would show me all of the wonderful food across the country, regional
food.
Wow,
how fun.
It was so fun. And working at the Saturday Market through college, I would drive up from Eugene, work, set up the booth. While my friends were partying and going to football games, I was running the booth for the family. So part of it is I understand that piece of it. Really what we're creating are entrepreneurial opportunities. And a lot of these businesses that are in this market will be family businesses. They will have that very kind of entrepreneurial element to them, similar to how I grew up. Now, we're not going to be a crafts market like the Saturday
right.
market, but I feel like those things are very complementary. I've also worked in Portland for two decades in organizations where workforce development was a key component of vulnerable populations gaining self-sufficiency. I spent 10 years at New Avenues for Youth, which is an organization working for the prevention and intervention of homelessness.
It's a great organization.
It's an incredible organization. And when I worked there, such a huge part of our mission was around workforce development, creating economic opportunities, providing job skills through the job training program, but also through real world work experience like the Ben and Jerry's partner shops, like the screen printing business. And so part of our mission at the market is to create those on ramps. And I've shared this with others. There was a young person who was a client of New Avenues for Youth, and he wanted to open up a Virginia style peanut stand. And he just...
What is that? I don't even know what that is. Is it like boiled peanuts?
Yes, I believe so. And it's a Virginia style peanut.
Okay.
He's like, you can't get them here. I think it would be a great business. And he had a business plan, and he went around to all of these different banks to try and get financing. I think he needed $5,000. But his situation, he didn't have credit history. He didn't have any kind of collateral to leverage, but he had this vision of this peanut stand. And I think about him when I think about this market is we can provide some of those economic opportunities. We can provide some of those pathways to entrepreneurship that are really needed for a thriving community. And we know there's a lot of need out there. We know there's a lot of social need, But we also have a lot of organizations that are connecting with people like that young man who really had a vision, and a public market becomes a place to actualize that.
And then that becomes self-sustaining, because once that's started and successful, presumably, I mean, that's what we all hope, then there's no need for further assistance. Then there's, now we have another economic engine.
Exactly.
It helps everybody, right?
Exactly. The Granville market in Vancouver, British Columbia, which is an amazing market right on the water. It's definitely one of the markets you should visit if you've never been there. It's a great summer vacation with you and your family. That market back in 2015 was generating around $50 million of economic impact.
Wow.
And that was in 2015. So, you know, when we look at the different data and studies, you know, the Reading Terminal in Philadelphia, that public market, one of my favorites, it is the second most frequented destination in Philadelphia other than the Liberty Bell. So public markets are real economic drivers.
No, that's exactly true. Now that I think about it, all the cities that my kids and I visit, that's one of the main things we do. And it's helpful. I love that it's located downtown, because it's helpful when it's in a central location that you can just walk to from your hotel.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone who would see the Pike Street Market sign and not recognize where it's from.
I absolutely love that.
So we're going to have a big iconic sign too, one that people will want to take photos of, you know, something, you know, I don't know if you watch football, but I was watching the Seattle Seahawks a couple of weeks ago, and the announcers were like, we're in Seattle, you know, we're in, you know, the Pacific Northwest, and we're in the home of the Pike Street Market. And I'm thinking, wow, on national television in an NFL game, you know, that's part of the narrative of that city is the Pike Street Market. And I was at an event 2 weeks ago, and somebody who is a economist said, what would it look like, Portland, if we took the Pike Street Market and just put it in downtown Portland? What would that mean for the city? What would that do for the city? And then he said, and I was like, wow, thank you for saying this. He said, because that's what we're doing. And I think that's the excitement here, is we are doing something at that level for this city in a time when we all know
I think it's brilliant.
It's something we really need, and it's something that we believe will be transformative.
Who came up with this?
Yeah, so the story of the James Beard Public Market, in the late 90s, there is a man named Ron Paul who wanted to bring back Portland's public market history, as I shared earlier.
This is not the national figure Ron Paul, I take
it. No.
Just in case there's any confusion.
No. It's a different Ron Paul who was a civic leader. He was the first person in Oregon to cook at the James Beard House in New York. He was very politically savvy. He spent some time working in City Hall. He wanted to bring back Portland's public market history. And one of the things he did, which was incredibly brilliant, is he worked with the James Beard Foundation to get the rights to be able to call our market the James Beard Public Market.
Wow.
Instead of something like the Portland Public Market,
what a nice legacy.
It is. And he passed away. He was the first executive director of the James Beard Public Market. And he passed away. And the organization very much is indebted to his vision. And we are very much honored, you know, to celebrate his legacy and his vision of what this public market will mean for Portland. I listened to one of his podcasts about a month ago, an interview he did with somebody.
That's so cool.
And just hearing him talk about the market and how many elements of it are still, you know, that same vision. And, you know, I really believe that we're in the right time and the right place with the right partners right now. And all of that has kind of brought us to this moment.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So where do people go to get updated about what's going on with the market? Is there social media? Is there an email list?
All the above. So we have a Instagram account. James Beard Public Market is the Instagram account. And we are continuing to populate that with great information of what's happening. We have a newsletter that people can sign up on our website, jamesbeardpublicmarket.com. And we put out a monthly newsletter, both with updates, events, and other ways for people to connect. And we have, we will have increasing, communications out in the community and ways for people to connect in. Since we announced on October 28th, I've received hundreds of inquiries about how do I get involved in the market? How can I volunteer? People who have deep connections with people who have been a part of our organization. And, there's just such a flood of positive energy for this. And now it's, part of my job and our organizational board's job to figure out how to harness all of this.
This is really exciting. This is, I think it's one of the most exciting things happening, if not the most exciting thing happening in Portland right now. Like baseball, that's speculative. I know there still has to be money raised, but this is something that is, it's well on its way. The building's been purchased, the vision is in the works, and you're heading it up. So, yeah.
Well, thank you.
I'm excited.
Well, thank you. And, you mentioned something really important is there are a lot of other projects on the horizon, and I think this is an opportunity for Portland to do something big and visionary again and to be able to show we can do big things, we can do big visionary things, and then, start working on these other projects. And there are quite a few exciting things in the pipeline right now for our city. Yeah. But I think we need to, we have an ambitious timeline. We would like to have a first phase opening in fall of 2025.
Wow.
I know. With a full opening in 2026.
I hope so.
Yeah, but that's part of it is like...
I love that.
Yeah, we need to be ambitious. We need to show that there's urgency.
Everybody wants it.
Yeah. And in like we've talked about, this is about economic development. It's about creating more revenue for our community. It's about creating more jobs. It's about creating more tourism. And it's about changing the narrative.
Yes. And the landscape, right?
Exactly. We have to do things like this to turn that corner. And I think we all want it, but we have to get people downtown again. Asking people to return to work is a piece of it. And that's important. And it's the reality that there's still going to be a lot of vacant storefronts and things that we have to start figuring out how to repurpose some of these buildings and how do we get more foot traffic. There's an estimated 15 million people a year who walk through Pioneer Square. That's an incredible number.
That is incredible.
But where do they go from there? And that's why creating more public spaces, intentional placemaking are all part of that. And that's what this market does.
Jessica Elkin, Executive Director of the James Beard Public Market. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.